She's a rock and roll play baby, and she throws a natural 20 crazy. She's a rock and roll play baby, and she's nothing near the normal and maybe I'm in love.
You are listening to episode 7 of She's a Super Geek, the live play RPG podcast highlighting women as GMs. I'm Senda, and on today's episode, my co-host Emily and I finish our playthrough of Witch House from Tau Games. In our last episode, Ellen discovered that her boyfriend Ethan was taken by the Witch House. After discovering multiplying hallways, a skeleton in the basement, and a terrified black cat, Ellen was thrown out of the house by a pale, clawed figure, still without Ethan. We join Ellen in the carriage house that wasn't there yesterday, confronting the ghost of the carriage driver.
You end up tripping over something.
Oh, man.
And the man turns to you. And his face is, it's not just transparent, but it's definitely a skull, not a human.
Oh, boy.
And he says, "You look like you've seen a ghost, dearie."
"You look a lot like a ghost, sir."
"Back in my day, whippersnappers didn't talk like that."
"Okay. I'm sorry, sir. That's a nice horse."
So would you say that you are maybe cowering a little?
Yes. I would say that.
I use that because it's an important word in the rules.
Okay.
He pulls out a horse whip and starts muttering about street urchins.
I'm just going to run for the door, and I would like to slam it shut behind me.
Because there's nothing that stops a ghost.
Like a closed door.
Like a door.
Okay, I'm running.
There's a key in the door.
There's a key in the door?
Mm-hmm. On the side you're in.
I'm going to slam the door and I'm going to take the key.
It's an old iron key.
And I'm going to keep running with the key. Does it have anything special about it?
It's an older iron key. There's a little circle at the end that has a letter H in it.
Interesting. So I'm going to stuff that in my pocket and I'm going to round the closest corner from where I am and sort of flatten myself against the wall and peek back and see if the ghost is following me.
So Ellen, you're thinking back. Now that we know you have Hamlet, one of the things Hamlet does is he tells you stories and you don't know why.
Yep.
They're not always that interesting, and most of the time they have nothing to do with math. So you remember a story that Hamlet told you about a Celtic ghost story where ghosts can't come through iron locks.
Oh. Very interesting. So I'm going to heft this key in my hand for a moment, and it seems to be iron. Is that...
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to put it in my jean pocket. The other, got the flashlight in one back pocket, got the key stuffed in the other.
And you've got a cat on you, and you've got a purse.
And a backpack.
And a backpack.
Right. I'm going to...
You are prepared.
I am so prepared. But I don't actually know what's in this purse, so I didn't actually take the time to look at that before. I'm just going to look around really quickly. Is there anything moving or anybody here that might concern me? Where am I?
You're in a hallway and it looks like it's lit by a few gas lanterns on the wall.
Interesting. Now we're at gas lanterns. I'm going to get underneath one of the gas lanterns so that I have the best light. And I'm going to pull out the purse that I found last night on the terrifying skeleton downstairs in the wedding dress. I'm gonna open it up and see what's inside of it.
There was a compact, there was a lace handkerchief, there are just a few coins and a couple of dollars. And as you kind of root around a little bit looking for some sort of ownership, you take out the lace handkerchief and embroidered on it is the word Helen.
Hmm. There's a lot of Helen happening in this house.
Is that an oil painting in front of you?
Oh boy. Is it a blonde lady with a cat?
You kind of back away and to look at it, because of course the painting's right under the lamp.
Right.
Last night, all the oil paintings were of this tall, really thin blonde woman. Tonight, she looks shorter and her hair is darker, but it's still labeled Helen and Scaredy Cat.
Okay, well that's interesting. Does this seem like it's the hallway that I was in last night?
You could check some of the doors.
I would love to check some of the doors. As quietly and sneakily as I can.
The rooms look like exactly the rooms you saw on the first floor and the second yesterday.
Hmm.
But they're not dusty.
If this is still the same set of rooms, then I haven't gotten any closer to finding Ethan. So I'm going to go to the end of the hallway and see if I can find a staircase.
Oh, you're back in the foyer.
Okay. Okay, I've got foyer, I've got arch. I'm going to go through the arch, because that's where I haven't gone there.
You come into a music room. It's fairly large. It looks like it probably functions as both a sitting room and a music room. And the keyboard is open on a grand piano. And there is music on the piano.
Does it look like there are any other rooms off of this room?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go through this room to the door? Question mark?
There's a door.
The door. To the door to the next room. Are there windows in this room?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go to the door to the next room.
Right.
Is this room dusty?
No.
Hmm. Okay. To the door.
The door you go through looks to be a fairly big pantry.
Am I going in giant circles?
There seems to be large discolorations on the floor.
Oh, God.
Okay. You feel a drop hit your head.
Ugh! Okay, I'm going to touch it, and then I want to see on my hand what color it is.
This isn't as well lit as the hallway, but it is a substance that is thicker than water and sticky and warm.
Okay, I'm going to pull up my flashlight, mm-hmm. and I'm going to look above me.
You see several places in the ceiling seem to be dripping what look like blood.
But straight from the ceiling, like there's nobody up there?
There's no, well, not on this side of the floor, at least.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I really hope that that's not Ethan, because I've been envisioning my life with him for a while now, and his amazing swimming abs, and his wonderful, friendly kindness.
Mostly the abs.
I swear that he is an emotional and sensitive person as well, but mostly the abs.
Do you say any of that out loud?
You know what? In that situation, I might actually say some of that out loud quietly to myself. Probably just the, oh God, Ethan.
So Scaredy Cat puts his paws on your head and starts licking the place where the blood splat on your head. Cleaning you.
Well, at least somebody here likes me.
You kind of look around again, and there's a spiral staircase leading up that you could have sworn wasn't there a minute ago.
I do not like this house. Okay, so I'm gonna pull out my flashlight.
I would wager to say this house doesn't like you.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you would consider that pretty appropriate as well. But then I have to come to grips with a sentient house, right? So, anyway. Okay, I'm going to go up the stairs. I have my mm-hmm. flashlight in one hand. I've got my crucifix around my neck. And I've got the iron key in my other hand. If I'd thought about more of those stories that Hamlet told me, I should have brought, like, a horseshoe.
Now, do you have faith in the crucifix? Because as Harry Dresden teaches us, it's not actually the crucifix that is powerful. It is the faith in which we invest in it. And that is why he carries pentagrams instead of a crucifix.
I don't know. We're going to find out. We should go ahead and there's something else in my backpack that I just forgot to pull out because I just carry them with me. Mm-hmm. And that's I have a couple sets of polyhedral dice in a bag right there. So if the crucifix doesn't work, then there's something else that I have faith in.
we're gonna include that now.
Yes.
In the story.
Okay.
So Ellen's a closet gamer.
Apparently.
So do you have a full set of dice with you?
Yeah, I think I probably have, you know, a good... I got a bag.
So as you come up, I'm assuming slowly.
Carefully, yes.
Carefully.
There was a staircase that did some not so nice things to me yesterday. So yes, I'm moving pretty cautiously.
You smell licorice. Black licorice.
Ugh.
You come into, I'm not sure there's any other word for it, than cauldron room.
meaning that this is a room that has a giant cauldron in it, or that the entire room is cauldron-shaped?
Both. Yes, the cauldron's in the middle of the room, of course, and it is gently smoking.
Okay, and that's the black licorice smell?
Do you want to get close enough?
Before I take any steps into this room, what does the floor look like?
Why don't you roll me a d20?
Oh, you terrible, horrible person. I thought this game didn't have any dice.
You're the one who brought the dice in.
I know, but is Ellen rolling a d20?
Maybe. Maybe she feels compelled to.
Oh, well, I got an 18.
You see that there are areas of discoloration in about the same places that there were downstairs. However, there doesn't seem to be anything dripping from above the room. In fact, you look up and this seems to go two or three stories up.
Whoa. Okay.
And so the floorboards are old. They look like shiplap. This room reminds you of one of Hamlet's stories, actually.
Interesting.
And there seem to be a lot of built-in shelves and bookcases. And as you look around, you definitely get the feeling that this is straight out of one of Hamlet's stories. This is a witch's lair.
Okay.
And it seems to go on for quite a ways, both up and in a circle. And, you know, you kind of look around and on the shelves you see like little vials that are labeled Eye of Newt and Powdered Hen's Teeth and all that.
Are there pots spaced at regular intervals that look identical along the walls so that when I start fighting and I run out of hearts, I have another pot that I can break and get it? Another heart.
No.
Damn it. I'm not...
There do seem to be bats around that are staring at you, though.
Okay, that's interesting. Nice bats. Okay. And I'm hoping, as I'm looking for Ethan, I'm obviously hoping that he's still in one piece.
Did you say Ethan?
Yes.
A bright, shining light sort of hovers in front of your eyes, like kind of darts out from one of the walls.
Ah, you're very bright. What...
Thank you. I just had a shining yesterday.
You had a shining. I'm sorry. I can't quite see what you are.
The shimmering kind of tones down. And you seem to be facing a small humanoid with dragonfly wings. Except she looks like she's all silver.
Have you seen Ethan? Could you help me find Ethan?
What are you doing with Scaredy Cat?
I'm Scaredy Cat. Seemed to just want to come with me. I'm not really sure. He just sort of attached himself to my shoulders and he's been there ever since.
Scaredy Cat takes a flying leap off of you to tackle the fairy-like creature.
I try to catch Scaredy Cat.
Roll me a d20.
No. Oh, no. Scaredy Cat. No. This is the first helpful thing that has happened. I mean, Scaredy Cat is nice and all and has been kind of reassuring except for the claws, but... We need to find Ethan. I got a 17.
So you're able to get Scaredy Cat off before he knocks the little fairy to the ground.
I'm going to hang on to Scaredy Cat really tightly and not let him go jumping after anything.
So she flies up and gets like eye to eye with Scaredy Cat, like puts her hands on her hips and says, "The mistress will not be pleased with you."
Who is the mistress Helen by any chance?
The mistress is the mistress.
Okay.
She has always been the mistress and will always be the mistress.
Okay. Do you know where Ethan is?
Is Ethan the handsome dude with really awesome abs?
Yes. Yes, he is. That sounds exactly like him.
I'm not sure. He might be dead.
Ah, that's great. If he weren't dead, do you know where he would be?
I suppose since it's not quite the full moon, Ethan might not be dead. Mistress takes a long time draining the life force out of her victims.
Oh, good. I mean, that's great. I'm glad, you know, okay, good. Could you tell me where he is?
Shh! Get up against the wall. Quick!
Okay, I'm gonna get up against the wall.
So you get up against the wall in the middle of, you know, in between two bookcases.
Okay.
And the fairy sort of mimics you. And you hear a door open and you hear footsteps. You see what you remember as the eyeless butler. Mm. He's carrying a silver tray that's empty, and he is going around picking up what look like cups and saucers. There seem to be several scattered about the area.
Like, that are just on the floor, or they're on various shelves and stuff?
No, they're on various tables and shelves, yeah. Like, somebody might be a little absent-minded.
Okay.
And then he goes down the spiral staircase that you came up. If he catches you, he'll gouge out your eyes and take them for himself!
Thank you for the heads up. What's your name?
Angelique!
Angelique, it's really nice to meet you. Do you know where Ethan is?
Follow me!
Okay.
And she flies straight up.
Oh, great. I want to shine my flashlight up there.
It doesn't quite reach up there. That's, okay. You know, at least 30 feet away. I think he's up here.
Okay. Hey, Angelique? I'm going to take off my backpack. And I'm going
to... Yes, Buffy!
Pull out my rope. I'm about to tell her my real name. And then I remember that Hamlet told me that maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Like, you don't usually want to tell fey creatures and witches and stuff your real name. So I just go with Buffy and I let it slide. I'm going to take off my backpack. I'm going to grab my rope. Angelique, is there anything up there that you could tie this to?
Of course.
Why don't you come down here and I'll give you the end? Because I can't see up there and I don't have wings like you do. You have really pretty wings.
Oh, thank you.
Really don't want to offend the only thing that might know where I need to go. Cool. So I'm going to basically tie a loop at the end of the rope and I'm going to hand it to her.
All right. She'll fly up and you can't quite see what she hooks it onto, but it seems pretty firm.
I'm going to put my backpack back on and I guess I'm going to... Hopefully, did we do this near a wall instead of in like the middle of the room? That would have made more sense.
Did you tell her to do it near a wall?
Yeah, I totally did. I'm a mathlete. I'm probably not as good at like upper body strength as Ethan would be. So let's try and get it near a wall so that I can kind of use my feet on the wall and on the bookshelves and stuff, at least as far up as they go.
Right. So you start kind of climbing the wall and the further up you go, you realize that there were bats, you know, on the, like, the first and second levels, and you assumed that there were bats, you know, up in the top, which is at a peak. But the closer you go, the more they look like not bats. They look like flat surfaces, and as you get up to the second level, you notice that it's a cage.
Okay.
Big enough to hold a human.
Up in the top it is?
And there's a skeleton in it.
Oh, gosh.
And you take a couple more steps up, and you see that there is another cage, and you see the reassuring black and white sneakers of your beloved Ethan. So the little fairy thing kind of flies up and kind of flies around him, and she goes, "Is this him? He's the only one breathing."
That one's him. That's definitely him. Thank you, Angelique. That was really helpful.
You'll join him soon enough.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So she flies back over to the rope and sets it on fire.
Oh, gosh! This fairy is a bitch.
And she just kind of flies off, like maniacally laughing to herself.
Are there bookshelves or anything up at this level, or is the wall just blank at this point?
Oh, no, there are things that you could hang on to.
Right.
But the rope is burning more quickly than you think that it would.
Right, so I'm going to really quickly try to let go of the rope and find something to grab onto.
Roll me a d20.
Oh, you terrible woman. 18!
So you're able to kind of grab a hold of a bookshelf by your fingertips.
Okay.
As you let go of the burning rope.
Which I'm assuming just turns to ashes and falls.
It does. But then you hear a sizzle when it hits the floor.
Oh, crap. How am I going to get over to Ethan without my rope? So it kind of goes to a pointy peak. Are the cages, like, in the center? Are they closer to one edge than another?
They're hanging around just at what seem like random intervals from the roof.
Is there more than two?
There's about eight.
The one that has Ethan in it, how far from me is that?
It's about 15 feet away. A little bit up.
Yeah.
So you can actually see that it is Ethan at this point.
And is he, like, unconscious looking?
Oh, yeah. He also looks really pale. Does look like he's lost a lot of blood, but you can't see any wounds on him.
I'm gonna try and get a better grip on this bookshelf and maybe put my feet on one of the other shelves. Mm-hmm. Is there anything on this shelf besides books? And slash, or are the cages hanging by chains, or are they attached directly to the ceiling?
They're hanging by chains. This far up, they seem to be mostly books. So they seem to be books that aren't often used.
How long is the chain? Like, if it were swinging, would it get close enough to me to grab it?
Yes. There's one that's closer to you that you could probably, if you stretched a little bit, you could reach out and grab. And you think if you get that one swinging, you could probably swing over to Ethan's. But where would you go from there?
Yeah, I think it would be more useful if I swung Ethan's over to me, if it'll reach that far. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab one of the books off of the shelf that I'm in, and I'm going to chuck it as hard as I can at the cage. And I'm just going to kind of keep chucking books and trying to time it so that it swings further and further every time until I can grab it on its close swing.
This is working out well for me.
Oh, God. Because, of course, so, the books are now going thunk, thunk.
Yep. Think about it. Floor. These are old, heavy books that you're throwing at a metal cage.
This might have been a bad idea.
Will land on the floor 3 floors down.
I may not be thinking at least very clearly because I'm very excited that I found Ethan.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're able to get him swung over to you.
Is there a door or anything on this cage?
Yes, and there's a padlock.
I'm going to try this key that I got from the door downstairs.
Roll me a d20.
13?
It works. Maybe iron keys are just not that good.
They're just generic. It's like it has the one thing that goes up and it just, like, that's it, mm-hmm. right?
Or maybe you found a skeleton key.
So I'm going to put the key back in my pocket because I want to keep that. That seems useful. Ethan is big and heavy, so I'm going to try and stand on the top shelf of this bookcase that I'm on and pull him out so that I'm sort of, like, holding him, like, kind of by the arms.
You get him out and onto the bookcase next to you.
Okay.
Scaredy cat helps.
Go scaredy cat. Now, of course, the problem is that I'm 3 stories up with a large unconscious boy.
You take another look around.
Yep.
There seem to be some sconces on the wall, but one of them that is near you doesn't look like the others. And you probably say something to yourself like, why doesn't that thing look like the other?
That one looks kind of funny. Why is that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Scaredy cat jumps on it and pulls it down. And you hear a ka-chunk.
Okay.
And you see a ladder descending from the sconce down to the floor.
Okay.
But then there's a question of how do you get Ethan down a ladder?
Yep. I mean, that's better. That fairy was a bitch. There was a ladder.
I know. That fairy was a bitch.
Scaredy cat, I'm not going to doubt you from now. I'm sorry. Let me say that like Ellen would say it. Scaredy cat, I am not going to doubt you again. You were right about that fairy, but at least she knew where Ethan was. Oh, ear squidgies. Ear squidgies. You're such a good kitty. You're such a good kitty. I am going to loosen my backpack straps as much as I can and everything. I'm going to try and get Ethan, like, draped over my back with his arms over my shoulders. And I'm going to try and wrap them kind of around my neck. And then I'm going to put my backpack back on, like, over him and his arms to try and, like, attach him to me. And then I'm going to tighten it down as much as I can. I'm going to put it, like, tighten it across the center and stuff. I'm going to see, I'm going to see if I can take the waist, like, clippy part. Because mm-hmm. this was a good backpack I grabbed. I'm going to see if I can make it long enough to, instead of going around my waist, to go, like, down under both of our crotches and then clip. Yeah. This is a big ass baby carrier. That's happening, and I really hope that my backpack can actually take this weight. Okay, so then I'm gonna test it. I'm gonna see if he kind of stays. I'm gonna hold onto his arms with one hand, and I'm gonna try and climb down the ladder with one hand and 2 feet, holding onto Ethan's arms and like hoping the backpack takes some of his weight.
Well, it's a good ladder. The steps are actually like wood.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I'm going to, that's, I'm going to try and get him down that way.
Well, it takes you a little while, but you do get down.
Mm-hmm. Are there any windows in this room?
Yes, there are.
There are windows? What do they look out at?
They look out over the haunted wood. You do see some movement. You see that night has fallen.
Wow, that was fast.
In fact, it's not early night.
Wow, that was really fast.
It might even be close to midnight, which you know as Hamlet calls it.
The witching hour.
The witching hour.
Okay, so I'm going to give Scaredy Cat's like living on Ethan's shoulders, I guess, at the moment, because I don't know if he would fit on my shoulders on top of his arms.
Or Scaredy Cat's been jumping down.
Right, he could have been doing that too. So I'm going to look at Scaredy Cat, and I'm just going to ask him, do you think that we should jump out, try to get out the window into the forest, or do you think we should try and get out of the house? You're the only thing I kind of trust here, Scaredy Cat.
So Scaredy Cat begins sort of purring and rubbing up on you, and then sort of sort of tugs on your jeans.
Okay. Where's he going?
And he's going over to one of the other built-in shelving units that seem to have a lot of potion ingredients on it.
Okay, I'm definitely following the cat. From now on, trust Scaredy Cat. Probably, mostly, I think. This is terrifying. Okay.
So Scaredy Cat will jump up to one of the shelves around your eye level and pick up an old dusty corked bottle and sort of pick up, obviously, in his teeth.
Right.
And sort of hold it out to you like you should take it.
Okay. I take it and I blow the dust off. What does this label look like?
It's written in a faded handwriting that you can't read. Your math teacher could probably read it.
My math teacher is a weird dude. What?
And Scaredy Cat leaps down and starts circling the cauldron, meowing at you.
You. Okay.
Meow. Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Are you sure? What is. Okay.
Meow, 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 meow.
Okay, Scaredy Cat, I think I trust you, but this is very, okay. So I'm going to prop Ethan up in the, never mind. I'm going to leave him on my back. Whatever. I'm just going to, his feet are like dragging on the floor behind me because he's taller than I am.
In my mind, significantly taller because he's a swimmer.
Because he's a swimmer and I already described him as being like 6 feet tall. And I'm probably, I don't know, 5'5". I look at Scaredy Cat. I look at the cauldron. I look at the potion. I feel like I'm not sure if this is a really great idea, but I go ahead and I'm going to uncork it. I'm going to pour it in. Scaredy Cat, I'm really trusting you on this.
The cauldron begins boiling.
Okay, I'm going to back away from the cauldron.
And the greenish bubbling liquid turns slowly to fairly milky white, and the smell that begins to fill the room is, what's your favorite pastry, Ellen?
I think Ellen's favorite pastry is probably chocolate croissant.
What it smells like.
Yeah, they have chocolate on the inside.
Like 100%. Like the best chocolate croissant you've ever smelled.
Oh,
like fresh baking.
Scaredy Cat, what's going on?
Hey, what? Ellen? Ellen, is that you? Ethan begins to kind of stir.
Oh. Ethan!
What is that delicious smell?
I'm not really sure. The cat told me to put it in. Look, can you stand? You're really heavy,
you have
honey.
A cat? He kind of slaps. I assume that you unbuckle him.
I will unbuckle him if he seems like he can stand on his own.
Yeah. Well, he sinks to a sitting position and kind of, you know, he's shaking his head and rubbing his eyes.
Look, Ethan, we have to get out of here. We have to get out of here as fast as we can. It's already been a lot longer than you might think it's been.
Get out of where?
You went in...
Ellen, where are we?
You went into the witch house, you idiot. Why did you go in here? And then I had to come
Why
in after you.
Why did I go into the witch house?
I don't know, but this is where we are. Look, we just need to go.
Why wouldn't my friends stop me?
I don't know. I asked them and they didn't stop you and then they wouldn't come with me. I don't think you're
I don't
really your friends.
Remember entering the witch house. Ellen, how in the world did you
Ethan,
get here?
We do not have time. I'm really happy to see you. And I give him a kiss and then I grab him and I go, okay, scaredy cat, where do we go?
I wouldn't be calling me names just because I'm
Ethan,
a little disoriented.
We do not have time. I will tell you everything as soon as we get out of here.
Did you happen to bring snacks or water with you in your pack?
Yeah, I totally did. I've got chocolate chip chewy granola bars because that's standard camping fare. So it was at the camping stuff
right.
when I snagged the rope. And right. then like a Nalgene bottle that's full of water. So I open a granola bar and I hand it to him and I grab him by the hand and I try and get him moving in pretty much like some direction, any direction, like scaredy cat. Mm-hmm. Do you think, scaredy cat, I'm really that, I thank you. You're the best cat ever. Will you come home with me?
Meow, 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 meow.
You just, the problem is, I would love to take you home with me, but first you have to get me out of this house. Do you know which way we can go to get out of here the fastest?
So scaredy cat will trot over. Do cats trot? They don't really trot.
Yeah, they sort of like, they can do a little like
Flounce.
Prance thing.
Yeah, he kind of prances over to another staircase that you didn't see before.
Oh, these damn staircases.
Or maybe it wasn't there before.
They keep appearing. Okay, Ethan, I know you're really lightheaded, honey, but I just need you to keep coming with me, okay? You eat that granola bar and we're gonna walk, and then when you're done with that, you let me know and I'll get you some water, okay? But we just need to get out of here as fast as we can.
So you kind of carefully lead him down the stairs, and these are the same stairs you walked down yesterday.
Oh, that I went...
The ones that fell out from under you.
Oh.
And so you kind of quickly sort of run down them.
Right, as fast as I can to get off of them and onto the floor.
Right. And Ethan follows you. I assume you're...
Yeah,
like,
just
you're
dragging
him
by
him.
The hand, basically.
Right. And you can hear the rumblings in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear a voice yelling out, "Mistress, what would you like for supper?"
Oh boy, are we in the kitchen at this point? Where did the stairs come down?
In a hallway with the kitchen at the other side.
Okay, I'm gonna head for the flappy door. Is there the flappy door there?
Nope.
Damn it.
However, there does seem to be some room under the staircase, which you dart into as you hear footsteps
yes,
on the staircase.
We absolutely do. And I stuff Ethan in there and I put my hand over his mouth and I just look at him like, do not make a sound. Do not.
And he kind of, you know, what's going on? You know, he doesn't say that, but he kind of, you know, he ends up like flailing one arm and you hear a little click and you hear the staircase go like it did yesterday.
Yeah.
And you hear the person on the staircase slip and fall.
I'm just gonna stare at him with really big eyes. And then, gosh, so this is the same stupid hallway that the two ends of it adjust. So I'm assuming there's some oil paintings on the walls here.
There are.
And some gas lamps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, wait, they're not gas.
Oh, boy. What are they now?
It's electric.
Do I see what looks like the door to the carriage house?
No. But you do look at one of the oil paintings. And you look at this painting, and it's still labeled Helen and Scaredy Cat. But it's changed, and you can't put your finger on why, but it really unnerves you. And Ethan is, like, finishing up his granola bar. He kind of maybe didn't notice the person falling down the stairs or anything.
He's a little out of it.
But he looks at the painting and he goes, "Why, Ellen, that looks like you."
Okay, but it didn't look like me last night. So, look, we just need to get out of this house as fast as we can, okay? I don't want to turn into Helen. I'm not Helen. So we need to leave now. And sometimes there's a door at the end of this hallway, and sometimes there's not. So if there's not a door at the end of this hallway right now, we just need to find one. So I'm going to start peeking into some of the other rooms and seeing if they have windows.
You hear Ethan's in the hallway and he goes, "Did you drop your purse, love?"
Did I drop the purse?
No.
I look down and there's the purse. It's still, like, wrapped around my belt loop.
Yep.
I'm going to immediately turn and go back to the hallway. Ethan's still there, right?
Yep.
What purse is he looking at?
He's looking at a very similar purse.
Okay, I'm going to open up. I'm just going to grab it and I'm going to open it up and see what's inside of it.
It looks like the exact same contents, but they don't look worn. Like, they look fairly new. Okay. The coins are all bright and shiny.
I don't know what is going on, but we just need to leave this house. And we need to leave this house before too much time passes outside, because I don't know how much time is passing outside. Is there a watch in this purse?
No.
Damn.
But you toss the purse, the extra purse aside, as you grab Ethan's hand, and you remember that if you go through, or you think if you go through the kitchen, you can get back through the first hallway and into the lobby.
Right, that's true.
And you kind of toss the second purse away, and it slides off the stairs into the a little opening in the trapdoor. The trapdoor didn't close all the way, and slides into the trapdoor.
This is so weird.
Through the trapdoor.
I feel like we have some sort of strange time thing going on, but also the paintings look like me now. Okay, so I'm gonna grab his hand, and basically I'm getting pretty unnerved, so I'm gonna try to just move quickly but carefully to the kitchen, where I think the kitchen is. Mm-hmm. Did I pick the right door? Based on my last
experience?
Yeah, well,
the door to the kitchen is open. And
right, I can see it. Okay. Is there anyone in here?
Yes.
Okay. That's where I heard the screaming from, right? Mistress, what do you want for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
But the kitchen's different.
Okay.
It used to look like, you know, a galley-style older kitchen, and now it looks like a 1970s eat-in kitchen.
Okay. Is there a sufficiency of furniture that we could go in the door and immediately duck behind something? A counter or a table or a...
Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm basically going to run in, duck behind something, and I'm just pulling Ethan down beside me. And is Scaredy Cat still with us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is he back on my shoulders?
Well, he was, but then he jumps onto the counter. And he goes over, and you You hear him pad over to the far side of the kitchen, which you remember had some pots and pans in it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there's like a giant, you know, clanging of pots and pans.
Okay.
And you hear the person who's in the kitchen sort of run over there and starts, you know, get out of here, scaredy cat. You shouldn't be here.
Ethan, now run. We're going to like do the low half run from here to where I'm hoping that the other door still is.
Yeah, totally there.
Okay. I'm going to run out of there. We're going to get out into that, just behind that wall, flatten ourselves. I'm going to flatten him and I'm going to flatten myself along the opposite side of that wall. And then I'm going to wait until I see Scaredy Cat come scurrying out.
So Scaredy Cat comes scurrying out and kind of starts to, is scurrying, but then sees that you're waiting for him and kind of comes back.
Okay. So I think from here, I think I know the way back to the foyer and then back out the front door. I'm going to attempt to follow that path.
Right. There, you do see the swinging door. Do you look at the oil painting?
I'm really scared to look at the oil painting.
You don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
I don't want to know. Okay, as we go down the hallway, I'm just give it a sideways glance.
You see in the oil painting a 16-year-old, lithe but muscular with a little chunk, young woman wearing glasses with mousy red-brown curly hair. Sitting outside of her own house with Scaredy Cat next to her. And underneath is the plaque, Ellen and Scaredy Cat.
So at this point, I'm just gonna run through the front door. Is the front door there?
Front door is there.
Okay, I'm gonna run out of the front door. I'm gonna run all the way out of the gate, and I'm not stopping until we're on the street. Oh no.
That's your idea. That's your
plan.
That's
my plan, yep.
You throw open the front doors. And the lawn is exquisitely manicured. And in the driveway is a fancy car. The steps are completely new, maybe even brand new. But on those new steps, apparently waiting for you, is a tall blonde woman with hair that is streaking out with claws for nails and sharp teeth. But she doesn't look like she did last night. She's transparent.
Okay, so I'm going to hold Ethan's hand as tight as I can. I'm assuming he probably stopped. I stopped. He stopped.
Yeah.
This is kind of scary. He's obviously seeing something, too. I'm going to hold his hand as tight as I can, and I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to try to run through her.
So she reaches out her hand, but not to stop you. You see her hand go out right in front of your heart. And as you're trying to run past her, you feel yourself slow down.
Oh, no.
like you're running through cold pudding. And you feel yourself growing stronger.
So I'm going to grab the iron key in my back pocket, and I just want to throw it at her. I want to, like, throw it in her face.
All right, so you throw the iron key in her face, and the witch hisses.
And then I'm going to reach into my backpack. Bear with me. And I'm going to grab a handful of dice.
What are you going to do with the dice?
I'm going to throw them at her.
The die of power.
I have faith in my die. Ready? Here they go.
And so the witch starts screaming as the dice hit her.
Especially the one-shot die, I think, is particularly virulent.
Well, when the one-shot die hits her, it hits her in the shoulder. You see a beam of light. And the witch reaches out towards you with her arms extended. Jaw is opening wider, like an anaconda, wider than you thought a human's could.
Oh.
And she starts chanting in a strange tongue.
I'm going to grab another handful of dice and just chuck them at her. Like that. So many dice. I have about two more handfuls left.
You're suddenly able to understand her.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
And she's saying, "You are me. You are me."
Okay, and I'm...
And you feel yourself growing stronger. You see the outline of the house in your head, all of its traps, all of its tricks, as clear as day. You understand every single thing you saw in the witch's lair.
I'm still backing away, and I'm going to... So at this point, this is the... I'm going to pull my mom's crucifix out of my shirt, and I'm going to basically, I'm going to wrap the chain around my wrist, and I'm going to like hold it towards her, and I'm going to keep pushing Ethan towards the gate. Like, we're still trying to leave. You have no power over me. We're going to try and break and run. Please let it work. Oh no.
And for good measure,
throw another handful of dice. Oh yeah.
For good measure. And so this dice seems to be made almost entirely out of one shot dice.
Yep. Because I, you know, only one of them came out before. I am grabbing random handfuls. So there are like four left. And my lucky D20 that I roll when I need to roll good.
Those dice hit her. Little beams of light start shining through. The light that streams out of her is multicolored. And through the light, you see little segments of the house through time. And you see different young women with scaredy cat.
Oh, man.
And so you're backing out. You've got Ethan with you. You've got a crucifix. You've got one-shot dice.
You know those one-shot dice. Thanks, the witch James.
The witch is lurching towards you angularly, almost mechanically. And she's just continuing to yell, "You are me.
I'm not.
You are me.
I'm not you. I am not you."
And you push Ethan through the gate and slam the iron gate shut.
Here, clang.
And you can feel in your hands the gate rust.
Whoa.
And you let go of it and you take a step back. The house has completely crumbled. It is nothing but dust. The only thing that remains is a broken mailbox with a bunch of papers stuck to it.
So Ethan and I are standing in the dusty lane just outside the pile of dust slash rubble that used to be this terrible place. And I just, I reach into my backpack and I grab the water bottle and I untwist the lid and I just hand it to him and I stand there staring at the house.
And then he says, love, this isn't filtered water. And you're like, first world problems, dude, yeah. Shut up.
I'm just like, just drink it. I am so happy that you're okay. Don't ever do anything like that again, okay? And is it daylight again?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know what
day
it is.
And you see running up on the lane, you see Hamlet with a chainsaw.
good old Hamlet, he was on his way. And I'm just, so I'm just gonna, I turn around and I just run at him and I give him a huge hug. And Hamlet, all those stories you told me, thank you. You saved me. Did you know that was a real witch house?
So Hamlet kind of shoulders his chainsaw and kind of gives you the awkward, you know, one-sided...
side hug thing.
One, yeah, awkward side hug. Because you're still a teenage girl and he's a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he says, come with me, I think I can explain everything.
Okay, but Ethan is not in very good shape, so we need to bring him too, or get him home or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you can bring him. Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
Whatever, he'll be
so
fine.
So he brings you to the house that he's renting in your sleepy little village. And you see, he takes you into his second bedroom. And the bedroom is plastered with papers and newspaper clippings and photographs. And you see photographs that look like they were photographs taken of the skeleton you encountered.
Oh my gosh.
In the basement. And he says, I've been investigating the death of Helen Jennings for the past 10 years.
Well, I'm not sure that she was entirely dead until maybe today.
What I think happened is I've been looking into the local legends, and there are stories about every generation a young woman going missing. But that house is a constant.
Well, I hope it won't be anymore. But, you have some astonishingly accurate photographs.
And as you're looking at them, they begin to fade.
Ooh, weird.
And he's animatedly, like, talking to you about this house and about the paranormal activity that he's and sort of sketched out
Hamlet,
there.
Hamlet.
But it was never, he'd
Hamlet,
never
look
been
at the,
allowed
look at the pictures.
Through the gate.
No, Hamlet, look at the pictures. Your pictures.
And he kind of turns to you and goes, what pictures?
You had pictures on your wall. You had pictures of the house on your wall.
And you turn back and you see that the pictures are now of scenery. Of the Huntington Woods and the local flowers. And he says, no, my hobby's always been photographing landscapes.
But you told me about the key. You told me about the cauldron room. You told me, I better get Ethan home. He doesn't look very good.
Okay, well, thanks for stopping over, I guess.
Yeah. See you on Monday.
Yeah. I get. Is it the weekend?
I'm not really sure. Anyway, we'll see you later.
So the camera pans out to show Ellen walking Ethan home, and Ethan isn't sure 100% what happened, and from what his friends say and whatever you tell him, he just kind of convinces himself that he was on a bad trip. Like, he and his friends were totally smoking dope over by the witch house, which isn't called the witch house, it's called Witch Hill. And nobody seems to think anything of it.
All right.
And so as you sort of tuck him into bed and tell him to go to sleep, the camera pans back over to Witch Hill. And we see next to the mailbox a small black cat waiting.
We hope you enjoyed episode 7 of She's a Super Geek. If you liked what you heard, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes or on Stitcher. You can also find us on Twitter at SAS Geek Podcast. Check out our website, sasgeek.com, for more ways to connect. We'd love to hear from you. Our theme song is Rock and Roll Play Baby by Kieran Strange. Find more fantastic music, merchandise, and tour dates on her website, kieranstrange.com, or follow her on Twitter for news and updates at Kieran Strange. If you will be at Gen Con, come play a game with me. I am running games for Contessa's Game Night on Thursday from 6 to 10, and for Games on Demand Saturday from 12 to 4 and Sunday 12 to 2. I will also be running a pickup game of Elsa Henry's Dead Scare as a preview Sunday at 9 with a location to be determined. Be sure to follow our Twitter feed for more information. See you in 2 weeks for our next adventure. She's a
Hello? Is that you, Captain Sparkle? It's been, what, 15 years since we last spoke, but I need your help. The world needs your help. General Granite and the Slate soldiers have discovered that the final piece of the Perfect Pearl is on top of Tokyo Tower. And if we don't stop them, then all the color and happiness will be drained out of this world. We had to sacrifice too much the last time the Perfect Pearl was completed to let its unlimited power fall into evil hands now. There's no one else, Captain Sparkle. All the other magical groups have been compromised. I need you to bring your Rainbow Rangers back together for one last mission. Please, Captain Sparkle. You're our only ray of hope.